I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes, I've let my hope fail, my soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I'm so happy that all of you have decided to join us here on the Hope Show Returns. I hope each of you have had a blessed week, and I want to thank my husband, Shaziz, for filling in for me while I have been absent. Today's message is going to be about kindness. There is so much unrest going on around the world. There is also a lot of hatred and evil being spewed out in the world as well, and I'm sure that all of you can agree with me with that. And this is not God's purpose for our life. He had greater things in mind when He created each and every one of us. God is love, but man has sinned and turned away from God, and countless people have lost their way and have bought into all the lies that Satan tells them. There is hatred and evil everywhere we turn. But we don't have to submit to that. I believe that if you want to be anything, then be kind to someone. If you don't have anything good to say, and it doesn't have God's stamp of approval, then don't say it. Ask yourself these three questions. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If what you're thinking does not meet these requirements, then don't say anything. Because if you do, you may later regret that you did. So let's open up today in an opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings of life and health, for waking us up today. We thank You for allowing us the opportunity to be in Your presence here today, to hear Your message, to fellowship, and to worship You. We come together with our faith united, and we ask that everything we bind be bound in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that You would soften our hearts and our minds to the message we are about to hear. We ask that You help each one of us to apply to our lives what we learn today. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel. May the words that come from my mouth be the words that You would have me to speak. And in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in that opening prayer. So let's begin. First of all, I want to say that kindness is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, the Bible says, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. To see the perfect example of kindness in action, we need not look any farther than Jesus. Kindness flowed continually and without ceasing from Him. Kindness was His lifestyle. He took notice of all the needy people. He intentionally and consistently sought them out, even when He was tired and weary. Jesus should be our example. It should not be something that we do on special occasions. Kindness should be a lifestyle for us. Love our neighbor and show kindness to everyone, every day, even to those that might get on our nerves. It is a daily practice. It's a choice. Ephesians 4:32 says, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. Kindness includes simple courtesy, but goes way beyond that, friends. Do we really know and understand what kindness is? If we claim to know what kindness is, then why are there still people out there not being kind, as they could be or should be? So what is the biblical definition for kindness? According to the Tyndale Bible Dictionary, it says, Kindness is a state of being that includes the attributes of loving affection, sympathy, friendliness, patience, pleasantness, gentleness, and goodness. Kindness is a quality shown in the way a person speaks and acts. This defines part of what kindness means, but when I dug it up a little bit deeper, I also found that it means uprightness, generosity, and graciousness. Kindness is a characteristic of true love. And listen here for a moment, and I want you guys to really let this one sink into your mind. In God's kindness, He saved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Titus 3, 4 through 7, the Bible stresses this truth. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. Friends, you know, the thing about kindness is that not one of us deserve it. We can't earn it. Kindness is free and merciful, not because of our works, but because of God's grace and mercy. He saved us through baptism and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us so generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Friends, that is true and perfect kindness. There is no greater act. When we think of kindness, we should not just take it at face value. It's not an easy and cheap novelty. What God did, sacrificing and sending His only Son to save us, that was the most amazing and costly act of kindness that has ever existed. This is our example for living. This is our example for how we should treat each other. We have been forgiven a debt that we can never repay, all because of God's kindness and compassion. And therefore, we should also forgive others of their debts against us and show them that same kindness and mercy that we have been shown by God. I want to read Acts 3 out of the Bible to you. It's about Peter heals a lame beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gates called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And Peter speaks to the onlookers. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, The God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come to the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people." Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, "Through your offspring all peoples on earth will be blessed." When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Friends, one act of kindness can transform a person's day, or even their even life, their whole life. Have you ever been having a terrible start to the day and someone opens a door for you, gives you a compliment, offers to help you pack something to your car, starts talking to you and they have the most contagious smile? Have you ever been having a rotten day and someone pays for your meal at a restaurant or tells you that the coffee is on the house? Perhaps someone took notice of your day and said that they would be praying for you. Have you ever been having a bad day when somebody notices and says to you, "I'm really sorry about everything that has happened today," and offers you a word of encouragement? Have you ever heard the saying, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle"? It's true, friends. Think about it for a moment. Not everyone's life is always full of sunshine every day. And you're not the only one that has something going on in your life. Everyone is fighting a similar yet different battle. In Acts 3, the chapter that I just read, Peter and John's act of kindness led to a whole chain of events. It led to church growth. People from the outside were attracted by what they saw happening on the inside. These two men were going to an evening service when they saw a man in desperate need, begging for help. The man was being carried to the temple gate every day to beg from those going into the temple court. The gate was called Beautiful, and yet what they saw in this man was anything but beautiful. A man disabled from birth, begging every day. But this sight didn't make John and Peter, didn't make their hearts sink. Rather, it made their faith rise even higher, as it should us. Here was an opportunity to do something for a fellow brother in need. They didn't have any money to offer the beggar, but what they did have was far greater: the ability through the power of the name of Jesus to heal this man. Not only was this man healed, but many people were converted that day. This gave them even more reason to witness and testify to God's glory. All the praise and glory belongs to God. The whole talk was about Jesus. By faith in the name of Jesus, This man, who was known to be lame, was made strong, was able to walk again. Peter was given the opportunity, as so many others were too, to speak the good news of Jesus, speaking of sin, the cross, the resurrection, and the need to repent and turn to God. God has an endless supply of kindness, friends. And when we show kindness to each other, it is a way of expressing God's kindness to us. Kindness isn't just about being nice to someone. Kindness is being nice in our disposition, being nice toward others, having a personal warmth about us that is relationally attractive rather than having a coldness or an abrasiveness or a rudeness about us that repulses others. Kindness is friendliness, politeness, thoughtfulness, respectfulness, consideration of others, more smiles than scowls, more laughter than anger, more encouragement than scorn. Believers should be known for their kindness. But are we? Is kind the first thing that people think of when they think of us? What kind of first impression are we making on those around us? Sometimes believers are labeled as being other things but kindness, but not kindness. Some might use words such as arrogant or judgmental or uncaring, showing a lack of compassion. And whether that is true of anyone, first impressions are everything. As believers, we should be asking ourselves if there is any truth at all in what others may claim to see in us. Or is kindness evident in our life, at the forefront of our interactions, so that these stereotypes simply won't be able to stick to us? Is kindness evident in our lives when we disagree with someone about something? How about toward those who are different than we are? Are we kind to those who might despise us or whom that we may be tempted to be despised? Friends, kindness is a very high standard. You may not have thought of that before, but it is. Kindness is a high standard. It is not on the same level as just niceness. Niceness is a level that is easily attainable to most of us, and yet kindness is a choice. It is something that we aspire to, that we seek guidance from God on how to be the best person that we can be, and how best to help someone else in need. How best to love them. Anyone can do random acts of kindness, even people who are not typically a kind person. It's not hard to step out of yourself for a moment and show compassion, or to show kindness for your own gain. It's not hard for someone to do some random act of kindness when they feel guilty over something. But true kindness comes from God, the real deal. Perfect kindness comes from God. The fruit of the Spirit, kindness, is the kind that flows freely from the heart. The kind of heart that has been overwhelmed by the kindness of God and which seeks to show that same perfect, true kindness to our fellow brothers and sisters. In Luke 6:34-36, the Bible says, "And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And so while you're thinking about that for a moment, I'm going to take this time to go to a short break, and I hope you will all stay tuned in after these two songs are played.
Even if I run away, your love never fails.
Hope Show listeners, thank you for staying tuned in with us here on the second half of today's message. If you are just tuning in, today's message is about kindness. And we have covered a lot of God's Word today on what kindness truly means. And at the end of today's message, if you've missed today's show, at the end of today's message, it'll be uploaded to the Hope Show Returns podcast. So that if you have missed this first half, that you'll be able to go to Shaziz's website, click on the Hope Show Returns podcast, and it'll be right there for you to listen to at your convenience. Earlier I mentioned that there are three questions that a believer should ask themselves before they open their mouth to speak. Sometimes we don't think about these things until something has slipped over our lips and we can't take it back. In Ephesians 4:29, the Bible tells us, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." We are halfway through today's message, and so I want to finish out this last half by talking about how we talk to one another. The first half was more concentrated on the actions. The first question that you should ask yourself is this: is what I'm about to say likely to build up this other person? Conversations are opportunities, my friends. Conversations can be enjoyable, but they can also be harmful. And in this fallen world that we live in, and because people get beat up by the world every day, it is especially important that we are cautious what we say. Be mission-filled when having a conversation. By God's design, part of the way we deal with life's hurts and difficulties is through what we say to one another. When we speak to each other, there must be something in us that when that person walks away, that they will be stronger, healthier, more informed, calmer, braver, more optimistic, less weighed down, and more prepared to tackle what's in front of them. Have you ever heard the saying that says, "Leave it better than you found it"? Yes, that can also apply to people. And the second question is, what am I about to say? Is it going to meet this person's need? If we're going to be used by the Lord to strengthen someone, we need to be aware of what the other person's dealing with in their life. We need to be able to shift our conversation from what we find interesting to what they are facing. How are they feeling? What is bothering them? What obligations do they have? How are they seeing the world? What are they finding challenging to deal with? There is no way that what we will say will be of any use if we first don't understand clearly what is going on in their world. And the third question is what I'm about to say going to benefit that other person? Friends, life can be hard enough sometimes, quite challenging. We all know that. We have all experienced that. We have all experienced having a conversation with someone, hoping that we'll get something out of this conversation that'll make us feel better. But it becomes quite clear during the conversation that the other person just simply doesn't have a clue. And when we leave the conversation, we feel no better than we did before. I don't want to be that person to make someone feel that way. And I don't believe that any of you out there want to be that person either. And Lord, I just pray right now to make each of us more effective listeners, more knowledgeable of your scriptures, and soften our hearts and our minds toward our fellow brothers and sisters, that when we are in these conversations, so that the perfect love and kindness will flow from our hearts into the heart of the person whom we are speaking. Amen. Amen. Our conversations with people should make their lives more bearable, not the opposite. We are to give grace to those who hear. These are words that point someone to God in all of His grace. They are words that point to God's smile, His presence, His willingness to forgive, His relentless pursuit of our souls, His commitment to their good, and His refusal to give up on them. To show true and perfect kindness and grace, we have to connect our lives, connect their lives, with God, who gives them that kind of life. And in order to do that, my friends, we have to know the Word of God. We have to be knowledgeable of the Scriptures. We have to be in prayer for God's guidance and God's help to be able to be used as the right kind of tool to help save the lost. Friends, kindness is so much more than just being nice to someone. As I said earlier, kindness is a high standard. God sets high standards. But He is our example for living. Jesus came and was man and endured all that we endured. And He sought after the needy. Sought after them. How many of us seek after the needy? How many of us willingly, by choice, seek the needy? How about the homeless person? How about the people who don't have food? The people behind closed doors that perhaps you'd never know? How many of us seek to know? Seek to find the opportunity to find somebody in need? How many of us take time out of our day and when we see someone that looks down or upset or someone that we know is having a difficult time in their lives, how many of us just stop what we're doing and take that moment of opportunity to be there for that person, to witness to them about the glory of God? To make our conversation and our opportunity count. How many of us do that? Probably not nearly enough of us. How many of us in our busy lives go to the gas station and someone's getting ready to pump gas and realize they left their card at home. They don't have any money. How many of us say, Hey, I got 5 extra bucks I can give you. I hope that helps. How many of us come out of a store, any store, and see someone juggling 7 or 8 different packages or bags, and we just walk right on past them? We're in a hurry. We got other things to do. There's more important things. They can manage. They'll get there. How many of us do that? How many of us see someone struggling at the door? They can't. They got a cart full of food from Aldi's and nobody there to help them. And it takes, being a spider monkey sometimes to steer the cart and open the door and get out of there. But how many just walk on through the other door? How many randomly just at Aldi's leave your quarter in the cart for the next person? Friends, all those are acts of kindness that flow from your heart, that show God's true kindness, His perfect kindness. We are our fellow brothers and sisters' keepers. We are supposed to share their burden, no matter what it is, whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally. God put us on this earth to love our neighbors as He loves us, to show that same grace and mercy towards someone else that God has shown us. As I said in the show, we haven't done anything to earn it, but God gives it so freely. Grace and mercy, love and kindness, and all the other fruits of the Spirit. He gives that to us every morning, fresh and new. Friends, every day, whether you look for it or not, the day is chocked full of opportunities to show God's kindness to people all around us. Not just one simple act of kindness a day. Friends, if you look around, all day long, there are ways to show God's true and perfect kindness to your fellow brothers and sisters. Maybe there's someone out there today that just really, really, really rubs you the wrong way, that can just get under your skin and just poke, 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 poke. And maybe you find yourself having some ungodly thoughts about that person. But you know what? Even those people, those are opportunities to show God's love to those people. You don't have to behave that way, because the Bible says, love your enemy. Just because someone else is treating you poorly doesn't mean that you have the right to treat that person in the same way. And in fact, God says believers are to be held at a higher standard, that you are to love those people no matter what. Friends, we reach people for God by the way that we act by the things that we say and do, all in God's name. So, I want you to think about that this week. Be in prayer with the Lord. Be in the Word of God, studying. Be asking God where He wants to see changes in your life. And submit to His will. Listen to what the Lord speaks to you. Let us bow our head in a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your kindness and your love. Thank you for the ways that you have heard our cries for help. Thank you for those prayers that you have already answered, and for those for which we are still waiting, knowing that you hear every one of our prayers. Help each of us to always be on the lookout for opportunities to show kindness to those in need. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. I want to thank all of you for being here today. God bless each and every one of you and your families. And may you be mindful of your actions this week and of your conversations. And may you all leave someone better than you found them. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next Saturday, same time, same place, I hope each and every one of you have an amazing week and go out there and love one another. Take care. Surrounds in deepest waters, you saw.
presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me when my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made strong.
Sound
that same